Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome, fellow Lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Ugh, why'd you show me that? Welcome back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard, and I just saw more of Dimples than I needed to.
You're welcome.
Pasty, motherfucker.
I know, and I was
pasty.
In the sun all weekend long.
At the Mile of Music, eh?
At the Mile.
So long over now. It feels like forever. This is like a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
Feels like it was yesterday, but guess what?
It wasn't.
Boy,
what a good year.
Yeah, that was a great year. Mile 12.
What a good year.
Hopefully we're part of mile 13.
Just gonna wait at the end of the universe. Year, but, yeah. Well,
2020 was a bad year.
Collaborate.
Didn't they cancel it 2020?
Okay, well, yeah. No,
that's a bad year.
Downer. Let's go.
Anyway, I already said welcome back, so welcome back. I'm going to crack open another beer from our friends at Lion's Tail Brewing here in Neenah, Wisconsin.
Check them out there. And if you, let's see what he thinks of the beer. What is this one?
Tell him we sent it to you. Oh, this is a...
This is, I was just leading up to.
Oh, you're leading up to. Okay. I screwed that up. This is a...
No, start over. Welcome back to another episode. No,
well, I can't to the can. I could put it up here and... Yeah. Anyway. No, this is their Vienna Lager, number 90 red.
Nice.
Yeah. Named signature paint color for the fire engines made in Wisconsin by Pierce Manufacturing.
Nice collab, boys. So, I like it.
I don't know if it's a collab, but...
Well, like, you know.
Guess what? Guess who's collabing with them now?
Yeah. What do you think?
Us.
Lion's Tail.
That's right. Lion's Tail. I'm so glad that our first brewery collab is like our, literally our hometown. It's 5 minutes from where we are.
And good beer. That we've been to. Downtown Neenah, right off downtown Neenah.
Amazing beer. Wow. That is delicious. Oh, you're going to drink out of my can.
Well, no, I'm going to wait for you to put it. Oh, look at that. He handed it over. I was just going to wait for you to set it down and then give it a drink.
Jesus Christ. This is the worst part of this thing ever. Mm. Oh.
You like, well, that is good.
You like make love to the can, for Christ's sake.
When it's that good, you can't do anything but.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, stop fucking buying into the conspiracy theory of gluten fucking problems. You don't have gluten problems. There's no such thing as gluten problem.
A thing.
Jesus Christ.
It's all in my head. All right, give me that other one. I'm going to chug it. No, we want to try them one at a time.
I don't care. Well, I don't think Lion's Tail cares how we try them. They just want us to talk about them.
Well, and they're delicious. And I will taste all the beers that we run across here. And if you happen to, like you said, so if you stop into Lion's Tail, just tell them if you see it, saw them on here, mention us.
Tell them we sent you.
Dimples and the Beard sent
you. Yeah, I was going to say, because you can buy, like, we get this canned at the grocery store. Like, but if you're in Neenah, Wisconsin, go to their brewery, because it's a cool location. It's a cool spot.
So, I love hanging out.
Yeah, that nice old building. And yeah, I think that was an old bank building, wasn't it?
It was an old bank building.
So, very cool venue. So,
check them out. Delicious beer. Cool venue.
So, thanks again to Lion's Tail Brewing here in Neenah. We're new at this. You can tell. So,
and I think they've got some of their beers in Mile Music, didn't they?
Did
you see them when they're out? I wasn't looking
for them. I don't know, but I didn't really. I had my kids, so I didn't really drink beer
outside. Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Well, if not, it's a good idea. Give it a watch.
I think another local brewery may dominate the majority of the beer down there since they're part of the.
Well, they are, but I know I've seen them at some bars, but venturing out.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I would talk about the notes and the stuff like that, but it's good.
Isn't that really what it comes down to at the end of the day? Is it delicious or is it not?
It's good. So, yeah, I don't know. It's apparently it's malty. The back of the can tells me it's malty. I like a good malt. So
it is.
Is that the same thing? Like when I get a malt, like with like an ice cream malt, is that the same malt?
No.
Oh, do you know that?
No.
You don't, do you?
For a malt, they put malted milk balls in your malt and blend it up.
Hmm. But isn't a malted milk ball, the malt in there, the same malt that's in a beer?
Nope.
Okay. Are you sure? I don't think you're right.
Absolutely.
I think malt is malt.
I'm positive. It's not even close.
You know, I made beer once, right? I know these things.
So did you use malted milk balls?
I did. I didn't have any malt. So I was like, malted milk balls will do it. Couple boxes of malted milk balls. It was delicious. That was the most disgusting beer ever. That if I were to offer to sponsor our beer, I would say no. That's how terrible that was. I drank one quarter of one bottle and threw the other eight and a third away. Whatever there was, I don't remember.
There's no saving this.
No. And then I never made it again.
So what do you think the percentages of somebody making beer, their first batch being delicious?
3%.
Okay.
3%. The first batch they ever make being good, 3%.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't give them a lot of credit out there.
I don't think it happens a lot.
No, I was going to say zero.
No, I think there are guys who are just fucking, they know what they're doing and they don't make it until they know what they're doing. Which is the right way. But most of us guys just fucking, I can make beer. And then go and, yeah.
Yeah, I took out of the New London Public Library. I'm in, criminalizing myself.
I love that you say library.
I rented a book, How to Make Beer. And
you rented a book?
I rented the book.
It's a library. I think you check it out.
Oh, I'll check out the library. That's a good idea.
If you rented the book, why didn't you go to a book rental store?
Because I went to the library. And, yeah, I never returned it. So I don't have it. I don't have it. And I never attempted it. But we were going to make our own beer.
Well, how long ago was this?
In high school.
From your school library?
No. The New London one.
The public library?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to call them and see what your fine is. I guarantee you, you're on record. You probably
forget that shit.
You got a fine of like $6,000.
It would be. It's 1984.
Can you imagine you get pulled over by the police? They're like, you got that book?
You got that book?
I've been looking
book?
For you. That book. And did you make any of that beer?
We didn't do it.
I ran into a friend at Mile of Music. I haven't seen him in a decade. But I ran into a Mile of Music, and back in the day, he made beer. I don't know if he still does, but I hope he does.
But imagine it's a lot better today.
Well, if he kept doing it, it was good. Right. It was good back then. So I remember it being good back then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So,
I'm sure his first batch was horrible, though.
If he still does make beer and he sees this and he wants us to drink it and he'll give it to us for free, count us in.
Boom.
You know who you are. He probably doesn't.
I was going to say, to mention his name?
I don't want to.
Or did you forget his name?
No, I don't want to mention his name for reasons I will tell you later.
All right. Never mind.
Yeah. But he's my gay lover.
He was wanted by a library somewhere, too.
No, he's my gay lover.
Oh, perfect.
So, you know who you are. Anyway.
Yes. Anyways. In the, what time?
In the what time?
Yeah.
You got a long story?
Not a story, but I wanted to bring up. But if she pops on in the next minute,
That's okay. Bring it up. We'll keep a pretty lady waiting if we have to. I mean, unless the story sucks, which it probably will.
It's not a story.
What is it? Just fucking do it.
Have you ever thought about what songs you want to play at your funeral?
Yeah.
You got them picked out already?
Trippin' Billy's.
Just the whole time? Beginning, middle, and end?
I haven't put together a playlist for the whole thing, but I want that song played at my wedding.
At your wedding?
Yep. Yes, I'm marrying.
Are you getting married again?
I'm marrying Jesus when I die. Okay.
Well, you are. You're going. You know, I mean, you're not going to go talk to him.
My wedding. I'm just so used to saying my wedding. I've done it a lot. No, my funeral. Yes. What are you pointing at your dick for?
You're going to hell.
Oh, I got you. Oh, I got it. Since we're here, I just mentioned your dick. Thank you to our good friend, Miss Annie Temple, for that beautiful video. I hope you've all seen it by now. Annie, this is long past due. I've already asked you. We already have a solution to this, but I hope the world has seen those poems by now.
That would be amazing. Yeah, the prick poems.
They are hilarious. And if you want somebody to write a poem about your wee-wee, call Annie.
She does a great job. Andy Temple.
Anyway.
It's a poem. It's not a rating. She does a rating.
Well, it's kind of a rating.
It's mixed into
a poem.
But in a poem. So it's more than just a rating.
And they are good poems. They are fun, good poems. She picked out shit in your room. She made fun of a small part of my body.
makes it fun.
Yeah.
She makes it fun, a little bit sexy, a little teasy, playful, yeah. all at once.
Yeah.
I love it.
Love you, Annie Temple.
So if you want to, what you got to do is you got to go check out Annie Temple on all platforms. And along with that, check us out on Facebook.
That's a good idea.
And Instagram, the X,
Shit-hole.
TikTok, Facebook. I mentioned YouTube is where I was going with that. When you get to YouTube, just give a like, subscribe, give a comment. When you subscribe with a little bell, you get to be first one to notice notifications.
I forgot to tell you this. We have a member finally on our channel. If you are watching this, our member, I think that we told the first member that we would give them a shirt. So if you're watching this, contact us somehow. We will get you a shirt. Thank you for being a member.
As long as you don't live in Canada.
True. You got to live in the States, motherfucker.
But for that, all that gun. That's awesome news. And let's not keep a pretty lady waiting.
So without further ado,
I'm going to open the tavern.
Open the tavern.
And then
without further ado, star of Thanksgiving, Jenna Warren. So thank you for joining us, Jenna Warren. We came to know you in Eli Roth's Thanksgiving. We are huge horror movie fans.
Yeah.
And you played Yulia, and you got... But okay, before we go further,
yes.
Spoiler alerts. We have to tell.
We do it at this point. If somebody's seen the movie,
yeah. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I appreciate you sticking around through my technical difficulties, but we're here now.
It's all that matters.
That was an easy one. We've had 20-minute gaps where people were off deleting stuff off their computers and stuff. So.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that was nothing.
So now that Thanksgiving, it's been out for a while, right? Yeah. So it's been, it's settled. It's been all over. But you're still enjoying, horror cons and things like that. Is that something you ever thought you were going to do?
No, not at all. I mean, I knew that it was a world that existed. I didn't know that it would be something I would stumble across. I do conventions quite a bit with My Little Pony, but horror conventions are a whole other ballpark, and I'm scared of everything. So it's quite fun for people to see me there, I think, because... I think that can speak for itself.
Right.
It is an interesting juxtaposition that you do voices for My Little Pony at the same time that you're getting your ears blasted with corncob holders in a horror movie. That's two pretty roles pretty far apart.
I know. That's like the best part about acting though. You know, like you can be like My Little Pony flying around in a world where there's sunshine and rainbows, and then you're in an Eli Roth film with your guts getting cut open by a chainsaw. Like, it's just the best. Who could want anything more?
Right? Absolutely.
Well, now this is not your first blush in horror. We'll get into the others, but do you want to do more?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's so much fun. It's like the funnest genre because you get to experience and play with so many different emotions and situations that, fingers crossed, you'll never actually be in. So it's like, it's just the best time. And especially with Eli, it's like, I don't know, that's like the epitome of horror.
Yeah.
He is becoming one of the masters more and more every movie. And that guy has got a knowledge base of movies in general that is unbelievable.
Oh, he's a genius. Yeah.
Did you able to pick his brain on set?
Oh, yeah. He was like a super collaborative director and also became a really great friend, too. We're still in contact today. He's like the best director I could have ever asked for. So like early on in my career and on and off set, he's just like shooting the shit with us and just like having so much fun. He's a big kid.
It's perfect.
It seems like it. Yes.
Yeah. When you're making those kind of movies, you got to have some childlike tendencies to you. So totally. Speaking of kids, did you grow up watching horror? Were you a horror movie fan as a child?
No. I was scared of the bad guy in princess movies. I didn't watch Wizard of Oz until I was probably like 14 because of the witch.
Okay.
So no, I did not. And even now that I'm in the genre, I love being in them. Sign me up anytime. I'll need a full script front to back before I step into a theater to watch a horror movie, though. I need to know what happens or I'll have nightmares for like days on end. I won't sleep.
Yeah.
So after going to the, I'm assuming you've seen the Thanksgiving quite a few times and it premieres now. Do you, are you over the nightmares?
Yeah. I think I saw it about 13 or 15 times when it first came out in theaters with, you know, the cast premiere and then the actual premiere and then going to a bunch of different screenings with castmates and showing up when my friends wanted to see it. So by the time I was desensitized, I would just like I, my friends or family to like see what their reaction was going to be when
Tim
Dillon's head gets like, you know, like I was like, oh, it's coming. And then they would freak out and I would laugh. So
So you say
that's fun.
You want to see the whole script before you see go see a horror in the theater. Did you see the whole script before you accepted the part? Did you know how you were going to die before you walked on set?
No, I didn't. So I assumed I was probably going to die. You know, like stereotypical blonde typically doesn't make it through the movie. So I was kind of like, I just want to go out with a bang. And I actually read the script for the first time. I was in college still while we were filming and I got the script sent to me while I was in class and I like scrolled all the way to the end. I like command F'd my name. I was just like, how do I die? And like in class, I'm just like looking through the whole script. But then actually my death intensified after we wrapped. So he called us back a few months later, same with Karen. We got to redo our deaths and like amplify it. So the chainsaw wasn't a part of the original script. It was just, the chainsaw was. It was the corn in the ears. That wasn't a part of the original script.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah. But like it adds so much more. So it was really cool to read how many different ways I die.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you mentioned Karen and we had Karen on and found out that the scene with her getting baked in the oven wasn't. And I said the same thing. Like, I can't imagine the movie without that. And I can't imagine the movie without you getting the picks in the ear.
I know. It would have been a very different film. And it just, like, is a testament to Eli knows exactly what he's doing. And he knows when it's not enough. And so he will give you everything and more.
Yeah. Well, you certainly have. You probably have the goriest death in the movie. There's a lot of blood.
Yep.
So going back to in the theater watching, you said like 15 times with your friends and family or whatever. Who had the best reaction to the murder of your friends and family and what was it?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I was in L.A. when my grandparents saw it with my dad.
Oh, wow.
And that was a big thing because my grandparents are like not like with it. Like, you know, I was like, oh, gosh, like, I don't want my grandparents. They went to a matinee. There was no one else in the theater. Okay. And they were cheering. They were like, yeah, that's awesome.
What? That's awesome.
And my mom, again, my mom doesn't like horror movies. She went with my sister because I was in L.A. at the time. And she was just like in awe. Like, she's scared of everything as well. And she was like, oh, I like watching you die on screen. That's something I never thought I would see. But they were just like in awe of the fact that I was a part of something like this. And I think that's what got them in the theater. And then they quickly left. My mom like closed her eyes for every other part.
I'm only watching my daughter die. Nobody else's death. I'm not going to see it.
Exactly.
Oh, so they didn't watch the movie and now they're hooked. And now they're just been binge watching Jason. No.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Turn them into straight up horror freaks. Yeah.
When you did
maybe
get
one
the,
day.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
I said maybe one day.
Yeah. Good luck with that. But if you could keep making horror movies, they might get desensitized.
Well, you force them to watch them. You just keep making them. They got to watch them, right?
Right.
I know. Exactly. Easy.
That's fun. When you did get the call back, and I'm assuming it's exciting feelings that I get to do more, but your first reaction to the corn holders in your ear.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. I got a text from Eli. He's like, so here's what I'm thinking. I was like, okay, corn skewers.
Skewers.
Okay. Like I got little by little, he was super ominous about it. And then when we got to set, it was so cool. And we had to do the shot in reverse.
Yep.
Because it had to really seem like he was jamming them in there. So then I had to act in reverse. Like,
you had to do it in reverse.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, maybe not, that it was the first time you ever had to act in reverse. And how many takes did that take?
7.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the first time. And like, it just wasn't working. And so he was like, try it in reverse. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like,
right.
And like, it was just like super quick, right? Cause it was, we had to get the shot. And so it was just like, try again. One more time. And I think either on the 5th shot or on the 7th shot, we got it. And like, it was so cool. Like, obviously I didn't really see how it looked in the playback. But it was like a lot of quick thinking, and it was kind of like a pressure cooker. I just knew I had to figure it out really quickly. Yeah. And I mean, when Eli Roth tells you to do something, you just do it. You find a way.
Right. I mean, there is nobody. I was saying that the same thing to Karen. We saw him. We were at a convention down in Chicago, and he was there, and he walked by us a couple different times, and we couldn't bring ourselves to say hi, because it's like, it's Eli Roth. Now, I can't imagine having to take direction.
I know. You just do it. Yeah, he's very, like, he's the most collaborative director I've ever worked with. Like, he knows exactly what he wants, but he is also so open to hearing what you have to say while also sticking to his vision, which is something I really respect about him.
Yeah.
And he never made us feel like we were, like, our voice or opinion didn't matter with such a big project and one that he's been, you know, wanting to make for quite a while. It really did mean a lot that he didn't, like, put our opinions to the side. He cared about every single thing we had to say, which was really, like, special.
Yeah.
So the both of us, we've been fans of the trailer of Thanksgiving for quite some time, waiting for it to be made.
Right.
Were you into the trailer as well back then? It doesn't sound like it, maybe with the Horge thing.
No, like, I, of course, when I got the part, I went back and slowly watched everything of Eli's in daylight in small increments. I paced myself. I think it took me like 4 days to watch Hostel.
I would watch that at like 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. That seems like you know, the sun's going to be up for a long time.
Exactly. And then you wrap it up with My Little Pony at night to kind of, like, you know, balance it out.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. But I actually didn't even really realize what I was auditioning for. Because I had done a project with Eli a few months prior to getting the audition for his Trick VR Tree VR series that he did. So he did one for Halloween. He did one for Valentine's Day. And so I thought, oh, this must be his Thanksgiving one. Like, I didn't really put two and two together.
Yeah.
And then when I got the call from my agent, I was like, shut up. What?
This is like, a big motion picture.
I had no idea. And even like when we were filming, I had no clue that it was gonna be like as big as it was. And I'm just very one step at a time. I don't like to get overwhelmed. I'm also very, you know, I do my own thing and I show up where I'm told to. And it was like such a treat discovering what I was a part of as like it was coming.
So you didn't know filming it that this was probably going to be a hit. I mean, people love Eli Roth movies and horror is really kind of coming back and strong again. And so you didn't really know that when you're filming, you thought you were, you know, okay, I'm doing this movie and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be like a worldwide theatrical release. I understood that Sony was attached to it. But at first I didn't know that. I mean, they give you so much information when you get a part. And so I was still wrapping my head around the fact that I was going to be filming and trying to figure out my school schedule and like all of the sort of A-type personality things that I sort of was like, oh, shit, okay. This is awesome. Like, this is the thing that everyone's been wanting for 16 years. Cool.
Wow.
I'm in it.
Then the pressure's on, right? People have been waiting for it.
Totally. Yeah. And we definitely like, we felt that to a certain point. We just wanted to make Eli proud at the end of the day. Like, everyone has their opinions after it's put out into the world. We can't control that. But as you know, we showed up each day and we left each day, we just wanted to make him and Jeff proud. And that's all, honestly, that mattered.
Well, the final product, I would, in my opinion, made him proud, and you lived up to the trailer. So I'm happy with the results.
Yay.
it's a damn near perfect horror movie. I mean, it covers all the bases. You know, it's got the twist. It's got the great kills. It's got the good one-liners.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the cool kills.
Yeah.
Cool kills, yeah.
So we can't ask, because you don't watch horror movies, what other cool kills you like. So let's transfer to My Little Pony. How did you?
Yeah, what a twist.
How do you prepare for being in a cartoon?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I've been doing cartoon work since I was, my 10th birthday was the first episode I ever recorded. And so I kind of learned as I went, I guess, with most things. But I had a really great team of people who like believed in me. And at that time I had like a really youthful voice. So I just kind of talked into the microphone. And then as I aged, my voice changed. And so I kind of learned how to keep the higher pitches and the higher tones and play around with it. And so I've been lucky enough to sort of have that self-taught training with a bunch of incredible mentors that I've worked with on different shows. And yeah, when I got My Little Pony, that was like such a imposter syndrome feeling, because that's a series that everyone's heard of. You've either have seen it when you were younger, your kids play with the characters, like it's very well known. And so the fact that I was then being trusted with this new adaptation, and not only being trusted but being the lead, was so exciting. And like it's one of my favorite projects I've ever worked on.
Yeah,
everybody knows it,
right?
So my nephew, when he was getting in it, you know, he was at the age where, you know, I'm like, hey, what are you on for Christmas? And he was kind of being right at that age where he's trying to be smart alecky and kind of funny. And he's like, I don't know, My Little Pony. So as a joke, he said it. And ever since he did that, it's been like 10 years now. I get him a My Little Pony something every year.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
something.
Set himself up for that one. So,
yep.
Right.
Keep that good taste.
You know, it's a T-shirt. It's an addition to. But yeah, so every year he's like, oh, there it is, uncle. You know, there's my little. Yeah. And then what, you know, like a T-shirt. When last year I got him a T-shirt, and he's like, oh, I'll totally wear that.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. There we go.
So,
well, now you're going to be able to tell him you talked to the star.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
there you
get
go.
A sunny star scout this Christmas.
He'll be jealous. That's for sure. But you've been doing so much voice acting. You talked about the high pitches and things like that, but what about action sequences and like when you're falling as a cartoon character? How do you represent that in a studio?
Yeah, like it's harder than people think, right? Like everything is coming from your voice box, from your throat. So when you're on camera, you have your whole body to work with. You have your face to work with. And so you have to channel all of that energy to the sound coming out of your mouth and making sure you give enough to the animators to bring it to life. And honestly, it all goes back to when I was like 10, like my parents would have to drive me down and I wasn't able to giggle on command when I was younger. So they would have my dad come into the booth and tickle me. So I would giggle. And then I was like embarrassed that my dad was coming in to help me giggle. And so then I learned how to kind of do it on my own. And same with falling. Like they would say, literally fall backwards. Okay. So you get that motion in and then you try and do it on the spot. And like, same with like, whoa, like, kind of have to play with it in your body to figure it out in your throat. And so I was lucky that I did that stuff when I was younger. Cause now it's like, yeah, fall off a building, do a triple backflip and then, you know, land in a pile of pillows. I got it. No worries. Like, And sometimes, you know, there's a really busy weeks and sometimes you're not able to read the scripts as in depth beforehand. So when you get to that part in the script and they're recording and you have to do a triple back tuck and, you know, land in pillows, you got to figure out how to do that in about 0.3 seconds as you're reading the lines. Yeah. So you better have the chops at that point.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned fake laughing is like one of the hardest things to do.
Right.
It it's yeah. impossible to sound like a laugh is real when you're faking it.
Yes, exactly. And so it's you know, the training when I was younger, I am so thankful for the director and producer and creator who heard me when I was 9 turning 10 and brought me in and gave me a chance, because I owe my whole voice career to them. If it weren't for them, I was competing against so many like grown adults for this part and put years of training. I had done nothing, no voice work at all up until this point. I did one episode that was half cartoon, half in person. And okay. they brought me in, the same voice director, and she brought me in for this part, and they were like, yeah, we're going to take her. And so, I don't know, life is really beautiful like that sometimes. Like, you yeah. never know what something can lead to.
So right. true. Mm-hmm. So at the age of 9, 10, when they asked you about it, were you looking for work? Did you know at that time you wanted to be an actress, or was it like someone approached you?
Oh yeah. My dad, grew up doing plays and musicals when he was younger, and we're from a really small town. And my sister and I did dance growing up, and then we did a musical with my dad. And as soon as I was done that, I was like, Daddy, I want to be on TV. I was about 5. And he's like, okay. And any, you know, dad of a 5-year-old little ballerina who says they want to be on TV would probably be like, okay, honey.
Yeah,
right.
But he really did look into it. And we did the rounds of different agents and finding what worked for us. And then that's kind of how I got into it. I wanted to be like my dad. And then when I was on stage, I was like, I want to be on TV. Like, that would be amazing. Right. And I just love being creative and playing. And to get to play in my adult life is such a gift. So that's kind of how it all got started.
Right.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
What a great support system, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Now, is your dad in? Was he like the director of plays in like local theater or high school or grade?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
No, he just loved being a part of them. And we did Seussical the musical, and they were looking for little munchkins, like the little ballerina girls. And my dad was like, I've got 2 daughters. And so my sister and I did it, and we loved it. And my mom cheered from the back of the crowd. She could not get her on stage to save her life. so we got the support from on stage and in the crowd, too.
That's perfect. Nice.
Did your sister pursue it like you have?
No, I mean, her and my brother, they also grew up auditioning and doing commercials. And I think she did a few TV shows when she was younger, but they decided it wasn't for them. They're like engineers. Like, they're so smart. And I'm off.
Boring.
Like, I get to be a train today. So, but yeah, they did it for a bit.
Okay.
Well, speaking of being smart, I want to go back to Thanksgiving, because that was the one thing about your character. Yulia was the smartest horror movie character of all time, because she's the only character ever who was like, we're going to get the fuck out of here. Let's go. There's people killing people. I'm going to escape.
Literally. I don't even know what John Carver, what the beef was. She just wanted her lipstick. She didn't even do anything.
He just liked killing people.
He just liked killing people. But yeah, she was booting it out of there.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe there's a twin sister in Russia somewhere. Who knows?
There you go.
Hey.
Thanksgiving, too. The sister comes back to get the revenge.
She comes back. Her dad's down on the floor. Her sister's guts are in the kitchen. It's like, all right, let me get out of here.
Well, that's a good point. That's right. Because, yeah, you're so close to believing.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. I know.
So do you think if you were to switch places with her, would you have survived the attack?
I feel like I would have seen that guy from the corner of my eye when I walked out of the bath. Like, he was right there. Like, you can sense people. I feel like I would have sensed him and, like, ran. I don't know, I ran track, I played basketball and soccer. Maybe I could have hustled for a little bit. I would like to think I would survive just because I have a really big competitive ego when it comes to like athletics.
Yeah. That
Patrick Dempsey has nothing on my athletics. Sam. You know what I mean? Like, come on now. I can hold my own there.
Well, you bring him up. How was I working with Mr. McDreamy? Dr. McDreamy?
Dr. McDreamy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. I remember my first day meeting him. It was our camera test day. Thank God I had my makeup done first because you go makeup to hair. So I was in the makeup session walking towards the hair section, and he walked in and he just came off of a trip. So he was bronzed and had his, you know, his white silver fox hair. And he was like, "Hi, I'm Patrick Dempsey." I'm like, "I know you. I'm done." he didn't say his last name, but he did introduce himself, and he was so kind. And like, he hung out with us. He would go to dinner with us.
It
was just super cool. Yeah, my friends were very jealous.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, well, and so at what point did you know he was in the movie with you?
When everyone else found out, like the Deadline articles is when I found out about Addison. It's when I found out about Nell and Jalen and then Milo. But when I got to the fittings, I found out that Tommaso and Gabriel were in it. And Tommaso and I have actually known each other for years. So I texted him like a line from the movie. I think I said, Evan, you're such a dick. And he goes, ... Julia? And so it was like really, it was a fun moment.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did all of your friends or your mom want to come to set to meet Patrick?
Yeah.
And did they?
No. I mean, they were, it was super like, you know, kept it under wraps. But we actually shot in a town very close to where I grew up. And so, I forgot something when I was home and my dad came to base camp and he got to meet Addison. Patrick wasn't there, but my dad did go tell the kids at his high school that he met Addison, right? And I hope I gave him some creds for that, some street creds with the high school kids.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so, yeah, for sure.
I know I have a 10-year-old daughter, and we were just at a local music festival this weekend. And she was, as we were walking out of there, she's like, "Dad, it's cool that you do a podcast. I get to shake hands with famous people because we've had some of the band members on." So I get it. Like, you get a little cred from that. I'm like, yeah.
You're like, yes, I did do that. And right. People are thinking it's cool.
That's for sure. That's awesome. With Patrick, I'm glad we brought that, or you brought that up, because he's such a big star. And he likes to, Eli, that is, likes to take people out of their element to put them in his horror movies. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a big draw to him with all these teen actors, My Little Pony. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to your first time working with him. So what is this whole VR thing about? I mean, I watched it. I didn't see you, but who were you in that?
Yeah, I was, have you heard of the show Selling Sunset? It's a reality show based in Los Angeles where these real estate agents sell these crazy houses, and there's really big character personalities on that show. And so I dressed up as one of them for Halloween. The woman's name is Christine Quinn. And so he wrote in Christine Quinn, like, as a Halloween character. And so I played Christine Quinn. I had this huge bleach blonde or platinum blonde wig. I was wearing like a big pink fur coat. So I definitely did not, like, you would not be able to pick me out of there by any chance. But it was super fun. It was a night shoot. We ended by getting covered in vomit. Like, it was awesome, you know? So he's killed me twice now in his movies. And, you know, honestly, it's an honor. So,
all right. Well, I was going to say, we just had another actress who was in a horror movie on, and she was the final girl in the movie, and asked her, you know, would you have liked to have had a kill scene? And her answer was, of course, yes, of course. So you're in a horror movie. Of course you want to get killed. So I'm reversing the question. Would you have liked to have been the girl who survived?
I mean, if it meant I got to be in the second movie.
Ding, ding, there it is. Yep.
Yeah. Like, honestly, though, the thing about horror movies is the kills are so iconic, and that's, like, that's a whole part of the genre, so it's such an honor to be able to play it out and have people accept it and love it and, you know, come up and talk to me about it when they see me. It's so cool. And then, like, you know, when I'm on my social media, I get to see, like, a super cool, like, my death sequence
in yeah, right.
different edits with, like, pop music, and it's weird. But it's fun. And I wouldn't change it. It was really, really, really special.
Yeah. And like you said, Russian twin sister in the second, I think it writes itself.
Yeah, I think it can happen.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be too out there.
Yeah. I mean, he basically everybody who's important died in the first one. You got to have some people coming back for revenge. So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You never know who's in the woodworks, who's lurking in Plymouth. So.
Well, Eli, if anybody could write in a twin, it could be Eli.
Yeah. And make it good. Yeah.
That'd be right.
Yeah. Make it not sound like Days of Our Lives. Yeah.
So with Thanksgiving and all these friends that you had in it, you texted your one friend. Well, how would you still stay in contact with them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're like very, very supportive of each other. And congratulate each other every time someone gets a win. We help each other with auditions too. Like Gabe Tomaso and I are Toronto based, and Karen as well. And then Milo just had a huge performance at the Hollywood Bowl. And so, you know, congratulated him on that. Nell and Tomaso did Overcompensating, killing it. Jalen just booked a new awesome series in shooting in Vancouver. So we definitely always we're keeping in touch, and it's the best part. Like, we had such a good time on set too. It was like you at camp every day. Like, we would go to set on our days off because we wanted to support each other and be there for each other. Oh, and Addison's killing the pop world too. Like,
yeah,
come on, she's killing it. So yeah, it's fun to watch everybody, you know, continue on.
Were there any, do you guys prank each other or do anything? What did you do to pass the time during those sets when you weren't on in the scene?
Not so much pranking, but like Patrick got me good on the first day, if you want to hear that story. So I'm terrified of clowns. Terrified beyond words. And there's a clown in the movie, and I guess they were testing out if the clown suit fit him. So mind you, first day, just met this man and all of my cast too. Just met everyone. And so we're doing our test shots. A bunch of execs are there. Like, it's the kind of thing where your contract's there, but you never know. Like, it's a test day for a reason. And so we're finishing up, and then all of a sudden he comes behind us and scares us, and like is in this clown suit. And I drop to the ground screaming because I'm truly so scared. And everyone is looking at me like, who is this? Like, what is she doing? All right, it's a little dramatic there, Jenna. But then they soon realized it really is so real and true. And like, the I couldn't go to set when they were doing the clown scene and the parade. Like, it I just couldn't. Anytime I saw the clown in the makeup trailer, I was like, oh man, like,
wow.
No.
If Damien calls for Terrifier 4, you're telling me you're out. I can't do that.
Like, I would need like a personal therapist on set, like in my right. I'm not even kidding. Like, I have some friends in Clown in a Cornfield. I haven't watched that yet. I auditioned for it.
You gotta watch it. It's great.
Oh, I know. I love it. Katie Douglas and Carson McCormack. They're just incredible humans. So I definitely need to watch it. Daylight hours.
Yeah. I absolutely loved it. I actually went and saw that in the theater. It was so cool.
I did too. Oh, yeah. Awesome. That was good.
But
that's it's like a double whammy to you, right? When there's a killer clown, you don't like horror and a clown. That's tough.
Like, I got like nervous, like thinking about the possibility of getting a part in that, because I was, would I actually say no? Like, there's a possibility that it would really just scare me like a little too much. we'll cross that bridge next if we get to it.
For sure.
Did the fear come from somewhere? Have you just always had it and don't know why?
I think it's from a parade in my hometown. My mom painted faces for clowns one year when I was little. And she turned the clown around. She's like, Jenna, look. And it was face-to-face moment. And I just, I think that's what it was. Okay. I mean, that's what I tell myself now. I think so. Yeah, I just don't.
That actually makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think people from our generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people from our generation are still terrified from Poltergeist. That's what really the clown and Poltergeist was. Like,
yeah. Nope. That's a no for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe I'll get over it sometime.
Now, what if Eli Roth is making a clown movie and he's like, you.
I would do anything for Eli. I would do anything for Eli.
What if he wanted you to be the killer in a clown mask or makeup?
They actually, you know what? Gabe and Jalen did try and get me to put the mask on. They thought it would help me.
Yeah. Immersion and therapy.
I was like, I don't want to be the mind of this monster. It didn't work.
Okay. No. Okay.
So the John Carver mask isn't as scary as a clown. That one didn't get you like a clown?
No. It was like little baby.
It is a funny looking mask for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea where that mask came from?
I think it's based off of a statue. I could be lying to you right now. I honestly have no clue.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, it sounds good.
Yeah, right?
Go with it. Yeah.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
So for actual Thanksgiving, do you have any like tradition that for Thanksgiving in your personal life?
My siblings, they always make like a mashed potato volcano. That's nice. The thing. Wait, that I
what?
Think, like, you know, they load their potatoes in the shape of a volcano and they'll put the gravy in the middle and it like goes down. That's really the only thing. And then I love the fact that I can bring up the movie every Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And I'm like, pass the corn. Or don't.
Now, you have that for life.
Right? I know you weren't at the table, but did you get a chance to partake in any cooked Karen?
I was there when they were filming that scene. Because, again, we would go to set all the time. And so Jalen and I weren't in it, but we watched. And that was, watching that scene was the first time where we were like, we're making a horror movie. Like, because we just had so much fun. But watching that scene was like so graphic and intense, and like we laughed, like it was just like a little too real.
Okay,
Karen.
Yeah, she sold it. She did. She sold it.
Yeah, she did.
Wow. So, what a step away, two step away, because you're big into dance and. Was that a good introduction?
That was great. That was a nice segue. Two step away. Like,
I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
So you're in the next step.
Yes. You know,
which I apologize. Didn't get to watch it. But you're on that for like three seasons, weren't you not?
Yeah, that was a very long time ago. That was like, I think I was 13 when I was in the first season. And it was so much fun. It was my first TV series. I'm still super close with Victoria, who's the lead of the show. And it was just fun. Like, it's a family channel, Disney show. Yeah, it was three seasons. And then I was like, you know what? I think this is enough for me. And then I transitioned into other things. But it was so cool. And I still people still talk to me about it now. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I did that. Like, it was just such a feels like a different like time of my life.
Okay.
That's funny. We have a way of asking people questions about stuff like, oh yeah, I did do that.
You've got that.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to like talk about and remember though, because yeah, it was so like long ago. It was over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. So so the dancing, so you got the part because you could dance, I'm assuming?
Here's the story. Okay. I did recreational dance growing up. I was not a competitive dancer. I played competitive soccer and basketball, and I liked to dance. And this audition came up, and my agent sent me out. And for the first season, it was pretty, like, there was hundreds of kids at these auditions, like, doing all these crazy dances. I'm pretty sure I saw a girl do, like, a backflip, and then I started rolling on the floor in my audition. Like, like, this is a cool floor sequence. But then after I finished the dance portion, because the first round was just dance. They were like, hey, does anyone want to come do a quick interview? And I raised my hand and I was like, I'll do it. And I think that my personality at that young age and not being afraid to like speak out and you know, be like so go-getter about it. I think that's what got me on the show. Yeah. And then I didn't even know I got it until about a week before I started filming. And we were in the car and my dad's like, oh, by the way, you booked the next step. What? Dad, I have to stretch. Like, yeah, I need to get my splits back. Come on. You should have told me this like 2 weeks ago. but yeah, so I think it really had nothing to do with my dancing.
Like, she's got the personality. We can teach her the dance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Few modifications, so then, but yeah.
So then with each episode, you had to learn some sort of dance move?
Yeah. I was in the younger group. So they had the A troop, which was the older kids, the main dancers. And okay. Then they had the junior kids. So I was in the junior kids. And I think we had one or two big dances, but we just kind of like popped up every now and then. So it wasn't too bad for me. But I did dance. Like, I'm not giving myself enough credit. I was a dancer. I just wasn't on the show because I danced. I was on the show because I was outgoing and like an actor, you know?
Sure. Well, don't say yourself sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they would have done it. They're like, she has no rhythm.
Right.
She's bubbly, but no rhythm.
Yeah, that would have been really bad. No, I
hope, keeps tripping and falling.
Yeah, and then you just put her in the corner there.
can you pop? So do you remember any of your dance routines?
Yeah, like there was one. It was like, we like did like something with the jazz hands, but
of course.
If I heard the songs, I could probably like get my body back into it. Like,
okay.
The audition song was Stutter from Mariana's Trench.
Okay.
And so every time I hear that song, I'm like, oh yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm like, yeah, I'll throw that at a bar. That song comes on, I'm just gonna show
it at a bar.
Putting that on the jukebox every time. It's funny. His dance moves are jazz hands, so I get.
You could have been on the show.
Yeah. I don't know if it's as bubbly as you, but all right, maybe. So maybe someday in the future, parts dance will come back to help you.
Oh yeah, like I would do it again in a second. There was a show I was auditioning for this summer. It didn't go my way, but like there was a huge dance component to it, and I was so excited to like send in my dance tape. It's definitely still in my body. I would need some time to get there.
Muscle memory, it all comes back eventually.
Yeah.
You ever find yourself accidentally talking like in some of the voices that you like? You ever at the grocery store and you're like in the Little Pony voice or anything?
Thankfully, no. After a few drinks, maybe. it's mainly like when I have friends or cousins or like family who have like a little kid and they're like, "Hey, can you send Sadie a voice note for her birthday?" And I'm like, hi, it's Sunny. Like, sure. But yeah, no, definitely don't pull that out in public too much. I think I'd get some looks.
And if a grown man asks you to do it, that's just creepy. Oh, no. So
unless they're at a convention and they will pay.
There you go.
I still think it's creepy if it's a grown man. But
will do for money at a pony convention.
Yeah, true. So you've done conventions for My Little Pony or just... What is it, like a cartoon convention, or what does that entail?
Yeah, no, they're called Brony conventions, which I didn't know was a thing until I became a part of the My Little Pony world. But it's strictly just My Little Pony. And
oh wow!
Yeah, they're honestly, it's pretty incredible. Like, they have to create everything themselves. All of the art, everything they sell has to be not affiliated with My Little Pony, so it has to be, you know, artists, and truly they're so talented. And it's really nice to see these people connect with their friends who live all over the world in person, because this is like a place they feel really safe. And so
yeah,
I'm just happy they want me there. I'm like, yeah, guys, let's go.
Okay. So, and yeah. I see that. So if somebody would to hire you on Cameo, you could get the My Little Pony voices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We love Cameo. We're such big fans of Cameo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just started. So Yeah. Well, we'll see what, how it goes. But yeah, it's fun to get a little message every once in a while as like a reminder that people do like and listen to what I do. That's yeah. also what's really cool about the My Little Pony conventions is that not that I do any of this for recognition or praise or anything. It's because I really love acting, but it's cool to get that feedback in person for a cartoon series because, yeah. you know, it's just my voice. It's not like people recognize me walking down the street. Sure. So it's cool to see all these people who genuinely love the show that I wouldn't even realize, you know? So it's really cool in that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you done some conventions for Thanksgiving as well?
Yeah, I've done two. I've done two. Okay. And those were super cool. It was like the level of insanity and support for horror movies. Yeah. I didn't even like understand these people are over the so top. Diehard. Yeah. And like, I'm just in awe that they want to talk to me, you know, like I understand mm-hmm. I'm part of like a super cool movie, but like it's still doesn't click to me that like they don't know me as like Jenna from high school. They know me as like, oh my gosh, you were in Eli Roth's movie. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, I was. Nice to meet you. Like the two and two still don't go together for me sometimes, but it's super cool. And like when people come up with cool posters they've made or like dressed up with like corn in their ears, I'm like, stop it. Like, that's so cool.
That happened.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was like a DIY, like they had a headband and like corn skewers.
I love yeah. it.
Yeah, it was super
like,
fun.
Like the old Steve Martin thing.
Yes, I didn't do that.
Instead of an arrow, it's corn skewers, yeah. And by the exactly. way, I'm so glad you said skewers before because we were saying like every word other than skewers for them.
I think so.
Corn yeah, pokers.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think it was pokers.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. The things that hold the corn.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, yeah. and we're in Wisconsin. We should know what they're called. We eat a lot of corn yes. on the cob. So
you'll know it now.
Yes, we will.
I won't forget it. That's for sure.
But I think that's why when people in Wisconsin saw that scene, we all went, oh, because we can just envision that one.
Well, oh, I think yeah. we've all been in like a cookout or a party with a friend or somebody, an uncle that we were like, I want to do that to them.
Yeah. And now they
just
they
haven't pulled the trigger
cool.
yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everyone's got something in the back of their mind.
We do have devious parts. So, do you have a funny story about the CoreCom in New Jersey?
Oh, I feel like you know what this is. Yeah.
What?
That was the funny. Okay, yeah. So, we were warned about the birds. We were warned about the seagulls that they sometimes like to release things from their bones.
We can swear here. They like to shit a lot.
They literally shit all over me. Like, it was crazy. I kid you not. We have this conversation. I walked outside. 5 seconds later, shit all over me. And I was with Gabriel and our manager, Sarah. And Gabe and I and Sarah, we all got hit. No. They'll say they got hit. I got annihilated by this bird. Like, it felt like a personal attack. And it got in my hair. It got down my shirt. And, like, I was wearing a white shirt, too. And I was like, how am I going to get this out? So, like, I ran back upstairs. And Gabe was like, what? Do I have any on me? He's like, I don't even see it. I was like, it's right on your neck, dude. Yeah, so... And, like, then we all had to get in this elevator, and I felt so bad because I just knew I smelled awful. And now we're in closed quarters, and all these people, like, know who I am because they're at the convention, and I... But it was such a funny story, and honestly, I laughed about it after I showered. I just had to get in that shower. I was gagging at the smell. I've never, like, I was like, I better have good luck for the rest of my life after this moment in time. And then I had to travel back to LA with my shit clothes in a
clothes?
Bag. My clothes in a bag because I'm not getting rid of that shirt. I need to try and get the stains out. So, yeah, It was a good memory.
Now, were you successful? Do you still own the shirt, or did you eventually have to? All right.
I do. Yeah, I do. Well, I know my mom's proud.
Sorry to put you in the spot, but it's too good to not talk about. That's a good, no, I mean,
I'm honestly so glad you brought it up. I love talking about it.
Oh, I'm used to you asking that question, the guest going, what? What are you talking about? So I really thought this might be one of those.
Yep. No,
I hadn't heard the story. I'm a virgin to the story. That was my first time hearing this, so I'm so glad he asked too.
Yes. Yes, it was one for the books. I'll always remember Jersey.
Fucking New Jersey. That's right. Yep. You'll never forget it. But would you go back?
Totally. With an umbrella.
See? There you go.
We learn, right? Yep.
I said smartest character in a horror movie ever. This is a bring your umbrella this time.
That's what I'm saying.
That's just good advice for everybody.
Right.
You know, yeah. I've never been to New Jersey, but now
bring an umbrella.
Bring an umbrella.
If you walk along the boardwalk, bring an umbrella, because yeah, you never know. You could be next.
Yeah.
So what's next? What do you got coming up?
Well, there's something that definitely look out for this month that may or may not have something to do with a certain genre that we like.
Okay, nice.
Maybe keep your eyes peeled for that. That's all I can say right now.
Fair enough.
But it was super fun. Had the best time. And then there's always stuff that I can't talk about that's in the works. So I live in LA now, which is super fun. It's been a dream since I was like a little kid. So being here, taping lots, meeting super cool people, and just like waiting for that contract to come through. So yeah, everything is next, I guess. Well, is the best way to put
that's
it.
That's exciting.
I'm happy to hear you're living in LA, because we can now ship you a shirt from our podcast, because we struggle so much to send them to Canada.
Yeah. Really?
Poor Karen, we sent her a shirt and she ended up having to pay $30 for cash on delivery because we screwed up.
Oh no,
but she was so nice. We offered to pay her. She said no.
I felt so bad. So bad.
Oh, my
but we will be looking. Yeah, I will get your info after. We will definitely send you a shirt.
Oh my god, I would love that. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for taking time with us. We absolutely love Thanksgiving. And do you have more
before we go? Okay. No, before we go, tell everybody, because you have such exciting news coming up, right? You just told us, tell everybody where to follow you so they can get on the journey with you.
Oh yes. So on Instagram, Jenna_Warren, and then I have fun on TikTok, but that you can follow that if you want. It's _Jenna_Michelle. But Instagram's probably where you'll see more of my fun acting stuff. So yeah.
Nice.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much. We like I said, we absolutely love the movie and we can't wait to see what else is coming out, and we will be keeping our eyes peeled for it. So,
and you're always welcome back to promote whatever you got.
My god. Thank you guys.
I'm out. Yes.
Thank you so much for everything. It's been a delight to talk to.
Oh my gosh, you guys too. I appreciate it so much. Thanks for hanging in there with me through all my ups and downs.
it was very worth it. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Night night.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.